I'm nervous. Are you nervous?
I'm nervous.
Are we recording, Tony?
Oh, we're recording.
I'm nervous.
I haven't been nervous in a long time.
Are you really nervous?
My hands are a little sweaty because it's something new. Like, this is something new that I've never done before.
What do you think about the studio?
The studio is stunning. It's luscious.
We were worried because we had somebody coming from TV to see this studio for the first
time. Wait, y'all are cheating on me with TV people?
No, you're the TV people.
Oh, it's me. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought there was someone in here before. You know, you're a dime a dozen. Watching it, it is stunning. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so impressed to see it in person. Oh, hey, John Bird.
Hey.
This guy in a corner, except for the guy in the corner. But the lighting and the cameras are incredible. I'm very impressed.
Well, this is most
and I'm not saying that just to be nice because, you know, I'm nervous.
Well, I didn't do a whole lot of work here. I'm just the talent. Tony Gump put most of this together. I would come over here sometimes. Like, even if I wanted to help him every step of the way, I couldn't keep up. Like, I couldn't get over here enough. I would come over and he'd be like, yeah, I hadn't been to bed in 36 hours. And I actually forgot to eat and I've lost 16 pounds. But
Why doesn't that happen to me? You know, no woman ever says, I forgot to eat and look at me, met my goal weight, even passed it by 2 pounds. Yeah, it never happens. It's always the dudes. Well, it's a beautiful setup. The lighting, that's the thing in television. Lighting is always key. Mm-hmm. And I can remember we'd take group pictures or whatever in television. They look great, the lighting and stuff. And then I went to radio and I'd be in pictures and think, why do I look dead? Why do I look like a corpse? I look awful. I have aged. It's lighting. Lighting is the big cheat in life, you know? So anyway, I love what you've done with the place.
Thanks. We've put a lot of effort into it. We didn't know what to expect again. Coming from, because I don't know what it looks like where you work.
Have you never been in a TV station?
No, never.
It's very fancy.
Is it?
It is. My husband's here, and when we walk in, he's like, it's so much smaller than I thought. You know, you think it's going to be this cavernous, fancy. Some news stations have stairwells that go to nowhere in their studio, just for the effect. But it's smaller than you think, but I love a good TV studio.
It's good.
Yeah.
Do you ever get exhausted having to be, because you got to be professional, you got to sit up straight.
I haven't had to sit up straight, I'm not sucking anything in, I'm not wearing Spanx, or the generic, they're Amazon Spanx, who am I kidding, those are too expensive. And pull my hair up, I wear this shirt, my mom gave me this shirt from, it's like Walmart or Target or something. Mm-hmm. I can wear my favorite shirt and jeans.
Yeah, I should have gave you a heads up. You could wear whatever you want here.
I was wearing whatever I wanted anyway. It's just radio. Everyone says this if you've ever been in radio or anyone I've ever met in television who was in radio. Like, but radio is my first love. And I never really fully understood that until I left radio.
Yeah.
And realized how free it is.
Yeah.
You know, you're not all sitting up straight. And I mean, I did glue eyelashes on for this because I wanted to make an impression.
Radio, I don't know if radio is even more free now than it was when you were there. Maybe it is because some of the things we talk about on our show 10 years ago, we would have probably been fired on the spot. Like, we really skirt that line of being inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really? For instance, I told a story today that I'm not going to repeat to you because it was just that bad.
I mean, I could not look you in the eye.
What?
No.
Does management, are they?
I don't know. I have talked to them.
We don't know. We don't look them in the eye either.
Here's the deal. The ratings are great, and we got sponsors.
Well, then.
Yeah, we got a lot of sponsors.
So they'll let you go.
It's like, you can kind of bump up against it, right? Whatever it is. Because I don't know where the line is in radio. I feel like...
It's from 11 to 2. That's where it is.
That's it. That's the name of it. Yeah. And hence the name of the show.
I don't know. I don't even know how that happened. I mean, I know I've got the maturity of a 13-year-old, so that's part of it.
Right. Is your frontal lobe fully developed?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. That's more fun that way.
I think growing up with Beavis and Butthead, Ren and Stimpy, some of these things probably contributed, but, you know, I make my family so uncomfortable. My mom, I had my mom on the podcast not long ago.
I love your mom. I don't know your mom, but for a while there, we were co-momming you.
Yes, you were.
We were like your co-mothers. Two moms. Yeah, we were that. That's who we were.
She loves you so much. When we had her on, we were talking about a segment we've got it starts at 1:30. It's called the Wheel of Segments. We spin a wheel.
I've heard this.
Whatever it lands on, that's what we go with. And sometimes it's really inappropriate. Oh, it's cringe. Just over the line, no pun intended.
It feels like you make yourselves uncomfortable.
We do.
Well, that's winning.
We've got a procedure in place that when he gets too uncomfortable, he plays the safety dance.
You have a safe word.
And so yeah, it's a safety dance.
Song.
So
dun,
we just let it roll for
a
minute.
I used it a lot today.
And then it lets him calm down, and then I get back to the story. But my mom's like, yeah, when I'm at work, I have to turn the radio down at 1:30. And I was like, so you don't listen to Will's segment? She's like, I still listen. I just have to turn it down so nobody else can hear it.
And I feel dirty afterwards. It's my son.
Yeah, we'll make you feel dirty. So, I mean.
I have to tell you, when I had my phone plugged up for directions here to this underground studio bunker.
Yes.
That you have. It's stunning.
That's exactly what I call it, too.
And so the Siri on my phone, I don't know why, you know, you change it to male, female, accent, whatever. So I'm like, let's try the British lady. I'm assuming she's in England. I don't know where she's based. And so when you texted, no rush, we're on your schedule, it came across the car as, no rush, we're on your schedule.
Nice.
Isn't that funny?
It was like the fish tank where we do the JJJJJ. I got to explain that to you one day.
Uh-huh.
We got
Is it filthy
up.
Too?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
actually,
good.
But it's not as bad as what I'm talking about on my show.
I'm going back to listen now. I'm going to regret this.
Trish is going to kill me because I feel like I talk about this every show, but it's a reality TV show that's on the internet. It's 24/7. The house has got cameras. It's kind of like a Big Brother deal.
Right.
But you can interact with these people throughout the six-week competition.
Oh.
And they've got text-to-speech, so you can type something and say something to them. And so we were doing that one day, and you would type a bunch of J's in a row, and so the text to speech would be like J. They start slurring. It was so much fun.
See, same thing.
We loved it. We need to get you a Siri with John Bird's voice. I think.
Oh, I would like that.
That would really help. I mean, you'd be lost all the time because it'd give you the wrong direction.
I don't know. Just turn around. Just turn around.
No, right.
His instruction would be like John as a producer. It's a little frenetic. We don't really know where we're going next. Maybe the phone lines, maybe not.
Give you about 8 feet before I tell you when you're supposed to turn. Mm-hmm.
The best way to get for me to get John Bird's attention was to throw a pin at the glass.
Yes.
I would always throw a pin at the glass. Is John Bird, since you've seen him within the past, you know, couple of years here and there, stopping by the station or whatever.
Yeah, usually on Thursdays when I go over to the radio station, I see John.
But I wonder, and I'm guessing that this is actually true, that the John Bird you used to work with is probably a different John Bird than he is now. And I don't know if that's thanks to me or what, but I just think he's probably different than he used to be.
Would you agree with that, John?
Yes, wholeheartedly.
He is more pulled together. I think there's a confidence.
I don't know about that,
okay,
but
never mind. Let me just give you my assumptions about where you are right now, and then you can tell me if I'm right or not. The hair, you can always tell what kind of life John's leading by the hair. Because he's got good hair, but sometimes it looks like he's pulled patches of it out, it's just like, very dramatic indeed. I listened to the podcast you did where you told this John Bird, this is your life.
Yeah.
And my word, the things you've been through, I had no idea.
Bird's bad week.
I would have been nicer to you, John. Honestly, I wouldn't have thrown as many pins if I'd known what you've been through in your life. I'm so sorry. But I do feel like you're more pulled together. You're allowed to shine in the spotlight, and you're part of the show. As opposed to the guy who was always coming in hot, one tire spinning off your car if it was working that day, and just trying to get your feet on the ground.
It's no longer get me a parody song and shut up. It's like,
You're a team.
Absolutely.
Like, he contributes so much to the content as opposed to, can you not answer the phone, Bird? Throw a pit at him. You know, that kind of stuff.
I'm
I didn't want to mess up the nice microphones.
Yeah, because when we get into contract negotiations for myself coming up later this year.
Oh, good luck. That's fun.
I'm so excited.
Those are good times. Like, I don't know what any of these legal words are, but whatever. There's not going to apply to any of us.
That's when I just signed it.
Have
I
you ever
like,
signed
oh,
one that said force majeure in it? I had to look that up. That's
what
like,
is that?
In case you're... you're injured lethally, but I don't know. It just why do we have to put it in like French? What can you just say?
It's a little bizarre.
Case, anyway, go ahead.
It sounds like something your Siri would say.
Schedule.
Yes. John Bird's name is going to be in when I do my new contract. I'm going to make sure his name is in there because I can't afford to lose this guy. And I'm not saying that to stroke his ego, but like he's a big part of the show. I don't know if it was his choice or not to be part of the show, but I've kind of dragged him into the fold, and I make him talk about things he don't want to talk about, his personal life. But I told him today, I'm like, you know, I see people in media and, you know, Rick and Bubba's retiring. And people were rehashing some of their old things that they had dealt with in their past. And I'm like, see, this is our advantage is we put all our secrets out up front. So nobody can drag this out and be like, oh, look at this guy. He's so... We've already told people
what
we are.
There's freedom in getting out ahead of anything in your past. Right? Like, no, you can't hurt me. Let me tell you what I've been through. Radio just allows you, and it's because there's not a camera glaring in your face usually. Right. And it allows you to share things. And then the callers calling in, it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. I never on television would talk about naked driving with my husband. And radio, for some reason, that seemed like a great thing to share. Hey, babe.
That is a great thing to share. I would totally bring that up.
But you did. And then other people would laugh or respond to it or whatever you were sharing in life. And it's just so real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intimate.
It is intimate. And don't tell TV I said this, but radio is my favorite.
Don't listen, TV.
Don't you? Yeah. I don't have a favorite child, but I do.
Do you miss it? You miss it.
My favorite child? I do. Yes, I do. Mm. But I missed a little bit of the television aspect when I was in radio, the visual component of it, being able to show dramatic video. You know, we had some little pygmy slow Loris video. You can't get that in radio, can you? But that's where podcast blends all of it together.
Right.
So it's a lovely, perfect storm.
Mm. Yeah, the naked driving thing was a good call. That's good radio.
And I just remember being scared, though, because he was listening. And we don't do it anymore, much to his chagrin.
Well,
we have not naked driven since, have we, babe?
It's the same battle with...
it's too cold, first of all. Nobody's doing that.
Way too cold. It's the same thing with Trish and I, because we were... I had an incident where at the gym... Do I even tell the story?
Oh, here
something
we go.
Happened. A wardrobe malfunctioned, and I was exposed. Okay, and
back or front?
Trish thought it was hilarious because she was there. She saw it and everything. And she's like, just don't tell that on the radio. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then it was how I opened my show the next day.
Right.
And then after that, it gets put into the Christmas play that we have for our Christmas spectacular. And I'm on stage reading my part where I'm talking about my junk falling out of my pants at the gym.
See how that it lets you free your soul.
It was very freeing on a multiple front.
It was very cold. Was it cold that day?
No, not in the gym.
My husband will tell me, if only you were still in radio. And, you know, Matt and I did the show together for several years. Mm-hmm. He said, I would immediately text this week, for example. Can't say this on TV either. Your credibility, it's shot. What are you doing, woman? I accidentally took the medication we give our dogs. And I accidentally took it. I don't know. I mean, that's one of those where I thought if I was in radio, you would debate on whether to share that with the room because you know it's going to turn into an hour segment.
Yeah.
And now here I am saying it because life is so funny.
How long ago was that?
It was 3 days ago. I had no anxiety.
What?
I had
three
no seizures.
Days ago.
My prostate went down back to the normal size. It was great. It was great. Yeah, it was 3 days ago, and I looked at my husband, Kent, by the way, in case you haven't met him. And I said, I don't know what I just took, but it was medicine that was meant for them, and I don't know what the reaction's going to be. I may be dead.
How did you find out it was the dog's medicine?
All right, so I give it to them in this whipped cream cheese, cheaper than peanut butter, and I just kind of put the pills in there and shove it in their mouth.
That looks good.
Well, I think I set it back. I don't know what happened, but then I said, oh, I'm going to take this and let's dip this in. Oh, that's really good. And I was crunching up stuff, and then I got a bitter taste.
Oh,
I don't know which meds. I think it was
trazodone
gabapentin with a side of phenobarbital. Just a little
propofol
shooter.
In there.
A little propofol.
A touch of fentanyl.
Best
who knows?
Sleep. So I was glassy-eyed the next day at work. Yeah. But things like that you share, it's funny. Other people start calling in and sharing their, I took my dog's medicine too. And before you know it, you've got a radio show about something you didn't even plan on revealing.
I've got this weird thing where I don't take hardly any phone calls anymore. And people call and
that's
they'll sit on hold
though.
For the whole show.
Why? Do you just, because your content's so solid, you don't, I don't care what you say. I don't need you.
Well, like I had this bad habit. Like, you know, when I started, I had 2 hours. And so my thought process was, I got too much to get out. I can't spend, I'll wait till I get a longer show.
Well, the world needs to hear what I say.
That's right. And so I get a longer show, and now here I am still not taking calls. I've done good this week, but, you know, I'm just, it's this battle of, is that caller going to bring value. And maybe that's not what I'm supposed to do.
Look at you guys becoming those people now. But you're not the people's princess anymore. Why are you shutting the palace doors?
But you have to remember that we now have the text line, which is the same as the call.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
People
that's right.
are really responding on the text line.
You would never have heard from Charles Allen Head, God bless his rest his soul, again, if it was just a text situation.
You think what do you think his text would have looked like?
Yoo-hoo!
That's all it would say.
I don't know. Love that man. I still have a moment. It comes up on Facebook that we lost him, and I have a tear in my eye. He sat in the back of my Jeep and was the most charming individual probably
that.
To ever sit in the back of my Jeep, but I he was amazing.
Yeah.
He really was a delight.
Yeah.
Better in person than on radio.
Hard to believe he's gone.
Gone too soon.
We did. You weren't at the Christmas thing, were you?
No. Because I had to work.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I had to work the next morning.
By the way, you text me. I know your schedule's wonky, but you text me.
Please don't hate me.
I'm not. No, I'm pulling up to the station to get ready for my job, and you're texting me that you're headed to bed. And I'm just like, maybe I underestimated how bad her schedule actually is.
It is. It's pretty bad. I mean, I took a half an Ambien. I sound like a drug addict, right? First, that's how it starts, kids. The dog's drug. It's a gateway drug. Then your Ambien. When I got home from work, I got home a little early this morning, like at 10, and took half an Ambien so I could get some sleep so I could be here fully functioning.
Right.
Because this morning I got up at 12:30 because I needed to go in a little bit earlier. So it's just
a little bit earlier.
Just a little bit earlier to get ready to work on an interview that I had. And it is just a bit sad. I love being up before the sun comes up. It's just the getting up part that's hard.
I'm terrified that our bosses are going to come to me one day and say, we need you to take over the morning show. We're sending Dixon back to middays, and I'm going to be
well,
like,
if I could come with you, I mean, I promise I would be more valuable than the callers you don't let on.
Right.
You always, when I would ask for you to fill in with me, and I can't remember if this which station it was, but if it was early morning, I think it was you.
It was
say,
99.5. Yeah, I was always
I'm like, what? Just get up. You know, get up. You're like a teenage boy. Get up.
Well, and I did it. I mean, I've even done some of those shows from your house during COVID.
Yes.
Remember that?
That was so much fun. I mean, it wasn't really fun, but then it was fun.
It was weird.
It was weird.
Doing a show from your kitchen
table.
Here
you are. You're at my kitchen table.
Then I had this idea. I was like, let me go out on your porch, and I'll do the show from out there. But then it was something where a mic wouldn't work. So then I'm on the phone out on your porch on the show. And
then we worked it out, and we just had like FaceTime or whatever, and we were doing the show. And that was when you had a lot of the riots breaking out across the United States, and it happened in Birmingham. Just a weird time.
That's the first time I met this guy. I met him over FaceTime on your show, filling in for Murphy.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sure it was. It was so much fun. I was so excited.
He seemed like a jerk.
I finally get to
work. That was Old Bird.
Yes, I finally get to work in radio. Do my first parody. My Arona K, which we don't actually say.
YouTube. So we use Pig Latin when we talk about the virus. We call it.
You can call it the coof, too.
I got you.
Or the coof. You call it whatever you want to. Just don't call it the regular name.
Don't say the word.
Yeah, but that made a big splash, and then corporate said don't play it anymore. I was like, wow, this
Wait,
is great.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Because it was the early days of Ovid K.
We didn't look it in the eye. We did not make fun because it was serious. And I get it.
And then less than a month later, you guys are gone. It's like
so he gets hired, and then everybody gets kicked out of the building.
You got hired right before
Ovid K.
I don't know Pig Latin. English is my only language.
We need to teach you.
Yeah, I never learned it. I would have been much cooler if I'd.
We taught him 2 weeks ago how to do it.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I've worked by myself for years, and I was like, this is great. Everybody's gonna be around. Everybody's gone.
Poof.
I just met the last salesperson last year.
Well, he was the one that started the COVID. Christmas. The FCC is going to find me.
I'll beep you out on the backside. Don't worry.
You started the Christmas. We'd light the Christmas tree every morning. We put Christmas tree lights up.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Well, I don't remember. I guess that was before we were kicked out of the studio. But
we did a lot of really cool stuff in a short period of time.
Yeah, we did. Stressful.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I wonder, like, what was it like before I got there? And then he tells me about the Ovid K story. And I'm like, that sounds awful. I'm glad I came when I did. Except for the fact that you're gone. No, because you left well before I showed up, and I'm like,
yeah,
that was half the reason I wanted to work there.
And you see what I do? I break hearts. That's what I do.
That's exactly what I break, radio hearts
is apparently what I do. Yeah, that's true. We first met at a different radio station, and you were this.
No, we didn't meet until 99.5. Because
I never saw you. This is the weirdest relationship I have with you people. Like, I never saw any of you, but I knew you.
We never crossed paths because I was at a small station out in Anniston. Right. Leland gets me to fill in.
Right.
The exit happens, and then they bring me in for Leland. But you're already gone at that point. And so then there's no contact with any of the people at 99.5. The only people out of that group I knew were AJ and Leland because I'd filled in for him. And
wow, I talk about like I knew you.
I think I didn't meet you until I filled in the first time.
Oh, how
pretty
weird.
Sure. Which would have been circa end of 2018, maybe beginning of 2019. So it's only been like 5 or 6 years.
Well, since I did birth you.
Yeah. Technically 6 years old to you since you're my
right.
mom.
You were born the year I graduated from high school. I remember it well. Adorable.
So, when you left, I knew it was. Because that whole 3 years from the end of 2018 to the end of 2021, I wanted to work at 99.5, so I'm doing all the fill-in stuff. And I remember when you left, I was like,
Here we go.
And then the whole time, Murphy is... He's like, just keep filling in, man. Yep. I promise you, as soon as somebody's gone, I got you. You leave. Next person that leaves, I got you. I'm going to bring you in. And it never... I think somebody else left. There's two or three people left.
I can't hold on forever.
He's going, listen, Linda, listen. I promise I'm going to bring you in. And then it took Murphy himself leaving.
He was the key.
For me to to make my way in there.
Isn't it? We sacrificed our lives for you. Ultimately, we all left so you could be there.
Well,
I just was excited when they brought you on because we all wanted that. It is a big deal.
Val met me in a shady parking lot, empty parking lot of a business that had gone out of business.
Oh, that was going to say building. Sammy's, but apparently they're still in business.
Yeah, they're still in business.
Because they do have the South's finest showgirls.
It was, it looked like a drug deal. She's like, I don't need to talk to you about this on the phone, but can you meet me over in this parking lot?
Wow, because our phones are bugged. Yeah. It's like an episode of a show.
Well, after what some of y'all went through, you never know. So it's
I did that one time. I was working at Channel 6, and the news director from 13, I did a report and kicked some butt, and my phone at my desk rings. I'm feeling pretty sassy, you know, at that point. Got an interview that everybody else wanted, and he says, I'd like to talk to you. I'm like, okay. So we have to come up with a location, because you can't go to a restaurant and have a meeting. So he said, where could we meet? That would be indiscreet. I'm like, the parking lot of JCPenney's at the River Chase Gallery, and meet me there at 10 or whatever. I don't, because the assumption was he was going to offer me a job over there. And, you know, it's the same kind of stuff that you went through.
So that's just a media thing. You just it get is jobs in parking lots.
Right, because I wasn't sure if you were even legally allowed to talk to the neighbors.
Right.
So he pulls up, I pull up, you know, windows down. He goes, this is the oddest meeting I've ever had. I'm like, don't look at me.
I don't think it's like that anymore. I mean.
Right, it's a little less, but still secretive.
Because I've always kind of known well before I was in the business that radio was a certain way. You're constantly surrounded by people that are going to stab you in the back to get your job. You can't.
Bird.
You can't. You got to.
What?
You got to get on air and pretend like no other stations exist. Mm-hmm. Like you can't mention their names or anything like that.
Yep.
So I assume that's the way it was. And when I got there, I'm like, why can't we do that?
It was just a sensitive time. You know, they'd been through a lot.
They'd
been through a lot. There was a turf war, so to speak. And so it was a little sensitive, probably.
What was it like?
Awful. Oh, wait, what was the question?
You already knew the question. What was it like working with Matt Murphy?
Oh, Murph, man. I'm going to tell you, and I said this all the time. He's the little brother I never knew I didn't want but needed, or something along those lines. Murphy was intense. Looking back on that great radio experience, I think originally they had me in mind to do the news, maybe. I'm not sure.
You're very newsy.
Very newsy. And then he decided, oh, no, we're going to have a show together. I did not understand the gravity of the situation.
Was it his idea?
I guess. I don't know. I didn't know, oh, yeah, I'll do that. That sounds good. I like what I'm doing, this radio thing, part-time. I'm starving. We're about to lose a house because I'm making, like, you know, $100 here and there at another radio station part-time.
We've all been there.
Oh, my word. Scary.
Yeah,
it's scary. It's fun, isn't it? It's character builder. And so I didn't really know how to do radio and didn't know Matt Murphy well.
Mm.
And we throw this thing together, and there were some rough times because God bless the man. Here's someone who didn't really have a strong opinion about anything, and then there's Murphy, you know?
Yeah.
And so he learned how to be gracious with me. And I also had to learn how to tell him, shut the up.
Did you know him beforehand?
Only knew him because he's that loud radio guy. And yeah. I think I'd been on his show once. And it was Valerie, Leland, and Murph. And I remember being scared to go in there because they always try to get TV people to say something. I was there to talk about a story I was working on or something years ago. And I remember somebody came in, and now I realize it was Leland or something hung up on Charles Allen Head. I'm like, you radio people are rude.
Yeah, they really
and
are.
And now look at you, a rude radio person.
I know.
So I didn't know him.
But I don't hang up on people. I don't
you
take
just don't
their
take,
call.
You just ignore them. Get down, kids. Don't answer the door.
You know what's interesting is in 2018, Murphy was talking to me about coming on board. And he did the same thing. He actually said the same thing.
Just wait, buddy. I'll get you there.
Yeah. Yeah, so it came together, and I've got to do this. I've got to do this. Tony,
you see her backing up? It's like making her nervous.
I've seen Tony, this before. You got to show this. This is some of the stuff that we did together, and it's incredible. This is the best.
Yeah, I have no idea what he has brought to the
table.
Oh no! But
I know this. Why are you shaking?
Oh, this is something else. I don't know what this is.
Okay, this is the one Bird sent me. Here.
Yes,
we have no control over what we're about to see.
Oh, this is exciting! Oh, there I am.
Grab the dog medicine.
Now that was real right there. No milk.
No milk. That face. We've all seen that face.
No milk.
The music's killing me.
Idiot.
And Murphy's canceled for blackface.
Oh, it's a mask. It's a mud mask.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
He's a spa day for Murph.
Look at
he's
him.
Adorable. This is what we is did during pickle? Our time off.
Is that a pickle he put in his
mouth? Yeah. Sure. It's a lighthearted love story. Someone sold teeth. I don't know.
Is this during COVID?
Yeah, that's what we did on our... What? What did you say?
Ovid K, yes.
Ovid K. I can say the F word on this podcast, but I can't say open K.
So, from my research, I know that people really prefer to have sex so naked. They're so naked.
Gonna take top.
Oh, this is good. That's how I always pictured him at home as well.
Sitting there.
And see, the cool thing is we all did separate. She recorded her part. He recorded his part, and I put it together.
It's like a real movie.
Right. The point of it was that some of us were more productive with our time.
After the show.
Reading literary classics and cooking things while the others
Man,
just
I
sat there.
That stuff.
Ironically,
you're good at it. Yeah.
You both of you guys spent a lot more time with Matt Murphy than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually talked to him today. I sent him a text, and he's toyed with the idea of coming down here and doing the show. Mm-hmm. I said, well, as of today, it will be official. Lindenberg would have come on the podcast before. She's come on the podcast before you. And he immediately says, I'll be in town next weekend.
That's
all it took.
It was a brother-sister competition. But Murph, also one of my best friends, and was so good to me. There were times in the studio I could have killed him, and I'm pretty sure he would have killed me.
Yeah.
Had he had the appropriate weapon. But there was something about it, like I don't know, the chemistry of it was immediate, and we did not plan our segments. We just said, let's just, you know, screw it. Let's just be organic. And somehow it worked. And he and I, especially him, because that's radio is his life, he said, I do not know to this day why it worked.
Yeah.
But it did.
It's good stuff.
It is. It was a good time.
Well, that's the best way to go, too. Just be organic.
Just see what happens. And I was terrified at first. I was so nervous that first day. I almost threw up.
I feel like it's a lifetime ago, but Jessica and I, and y'all had a show together too.
Yes.
I cut my teeth
in radio. You guys were great.
Yeah.
And working with her was great.
I don't know if it was just the goat laugh or...
It was a goat laugh. She had a great sense of humor. She was quick and sharp and edgy.
You two, that's why it was so fun to work with you when I was filling in, because you were so much like her. So I remember when y'all were on together, like, that was a hoot.
A grand experiment again that seemed to work. And I hate that it ended, but I was selfish and left for greater pastures.
You did it twice.
Yeah, I keep doing it. But seriously, the radio connection and the radio chemistry, TV anchors chemistry can be obvious on air. But the intimacy of radio, if it's not good, it's not good. Right, the chemistry's not good. It's not good.
I'm getting ahead of myself. The whole reason I bring Murphy up is I wanted to talk about angry outbursts, and I've never experienced this. I just know John Bird sometimes has PTSD moments and flashbacks, and I have to get him to explain it to me, like, what happened? And so he tells me the story. How bad was it? Did he ever get, like, physically hit?
No, there was... I mean, but sometimes the verbal punches are harder than the fists in the face, right?
Yes.
I mean, just Matt's a passionate guy, and his fuse at times would be short because he expected perfection, or at least what he wanted.
Right.
Like, why isn't my audio on my headphones not where I like it? Bird, why aren't you going to break because you're looking down? Those were the things. Mm. My expectations were not there because... La la la, I'm just, you know, radio, this is fun. Yeah, and but Matt had a certain amount of pressure because he was the program director. This was something that he was vital in putting together and getting on the air, so the pressure on him was far greater than the pressure on, say, me.
Well, maybe I
need to... So from a John Bird perspective, you know, not everybody gets up and functions well when it's 6 a.m. in the morning.
True.
And by then we're highly caffeinated, and so his expectations were high, as they should be, but there were times I would say... because it is hard. That is a hard thing to walk into work.
It's pretty interesting because at times, there were a couple of times where I said to him,
"Stop!
Don't you do that again or you will regret it." And he would back off and say, I'm sorry.
Because
he wouldn't even realize
it.
He wouldn't even realize it.
That intimidates me.
Right. And there were times when Murph... and we laugh about it now, but there were times when he would go off on someone, and more than likely they deserved it, but sometimes it would go too far, and I'm in the room, and it just...
gets weird.
It wasn't that I was uncomfortable holding people accountable, but it was just that sometimes it would elevate.
Yeah.
And
he would admit to all this.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Or he says, "I knew when I would see your reaction I had gone too far."
So you would help the situation just by your genuine...
Just diffuse it a bit. I mean, there were the some of them were great, and the people deserved it. I'm like, this is awesome.
So
I'm gonna pile on.
I think John Bird's now, he's doing a 10 a.m. start instead of a 6 a.m. start. That
better,
probably helps
better
a lot.
For bird life, I would think.
But from what you're describing with Matt Murphy, he had kind of the same idea I did, where I want the show to go exactly how I planned on it going.
That's right.
And so he's pretty good at it. And was it the Matt Murphy training that's got him so good at being able to handle my show? If something happens, most of the time it's not even him, it's computer. You know, we're running off this old stuff and old computers. Instead of getting angry at him, I'm like,
we got this.
We got it next time. Let's go.
Right. Just different personalities, different phases of life. And you all, John is more than just a producer. Which is funny, my TV producer was asking me what radio producers do, and it's just like, oh, that's so cute. They want to know about each other.
They're emotional support animals.
They are. They're adorable. But you are more a part of the show, in a two-person show, two on-air talent, and sometimes, you know, the third person weighing in, it can be a lot of people. And you did weigh in, but I feel like you all are more of a team, more like a Leland and AJ situation.
Yeah.
Right? The show... is better because both of you are there and you have this connection and relationship.
It's weird, and I always forget about this until I've got to have a guest producer. Like, if he's off or something happens and they put somebody else in there, you know, I obviously love everybody at the station and whoever's filling in, but it's not the same.
It's different.
And it's not because of the fill-in's abilities or anything like that. but I run on John Bird's reactions on a lot of stuff. Like, if I'm on a rant and I can see him doing this to the computer screen when we're playing some
John,
like, that gets me fired
up.
It gets me fired up, and we're going
full
speed.
But you see, if you were sitting in that seat and I was across from you and then Bird, you've got two voices.
Yeah.
So the reaction would be from your could you have a co-host?
Honestly?
I mean, Bird's your co-host.
I don't think I could. Like, if I'm just being honest, I would be, yeah, I don't think I could. I love the way the show's going now. Mm-hmm. And this setup is perfect right here. We've got, on a regular basis, it's us three. Mm-hmm. That's good. That works out. But in radio, when I'm trying to be, you know, really serious and hammer home a point, and it's not as, even though we go back and forth, it's not near as conversational as this setting is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're up against time. You're up against time constraints.
Unless you come back and then we can talk about it.
Is that really what, really?
I mean, we'll talk about it.
He's not going to let me. I'm going to have to text him. He's not going to let me on the phone.
Well, I'll let you on the phone.
I credit Murph for having been a solo act for years, and then he brings in this chick and makes accommodations for me.
Yeah.
And
what
helps me grow.
It's crazy.
And it is crazy, isn't it? I'll tell you, this helps. And I think I've told Murphy's this, but I've worked with so many male egos in news, mm-hmm, and sat next to them and somehow managed not to lose my cool, managed not to have anybody run over me, and to help them shine, knowing their egos are the size of Texas and California combined. See, I put those two really opposite states together.
That was good. That was
right?
Good.
And so Murphy being a strong male broadcasting presence, although different because it's radio, I'd dealt with that before in TV
news.
What
do you have to do? Just feed the ego and just pretend like, hey, you are as good as you think you are?
I have to know, for the television men, not all of them, but some of them over the years, that, okay, you're fragile, but you're also good at what you do. I'm thinking this. I'm not saying it out loud.
Right.
You're going to have that temper tantrum. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be right here to take you. Just have that fit over there. It's going to be okay.
It's just going
to
be okay.
Right? Like,
buddy.
I didn't take it personally and had to find a way sometimes to out loud them, if that made sense. You know,
yeah,
I because you see what someone is, TV news anchors can be some of the most egotistical, insecure people you'll ever meet.
Really?
Over the years. I'm not saying now. But over the years, my assessment of us is that we're this on television. But in real life, we are socially anxious. And I don't know, if people knew the real me, they would never watch me on TV again.
That's
that kind of thing.
That's me.
Is it really?
I was nervous. Like, I wasn't kidding when I said I was nervous about y'all coming up here. I was legitimately
You really
nervous.
Were too.
Yeah, yeah.
We're stupid.
I know.
We were all nervous because you're a TV person.
Yeah, you're
we're
big
the first
time
TV person on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But but the setup rivals what we have, even
that
in this
my
small
mind.
Space.
Yeah,
but
that's
weird. But the clarity of these cameras that I'm looking at, and when I watch this, I was very impressed. So let the nerves wash away. But part of this for me, especially in the height of my worst years, which TV's just all I knew how to do, somehow still maintained it. But I thought, if people knew that I don't understand everything I talk about on air, they would think I was a fraud.
Right.
Or people like, oh, I know you're so busy, Andrea, but could you come speak to our group? And I mean, no. And when I was really down, I'd just go home and crawl in bed.
Yeah.
And then fail at parenting. And then get up and go back to work. You know, you feel, now I'm much more comfortable in self, and these thoughts aren't as bad.
Yeah.
But there was a time when the whole thing just felt like some sort of facade.
I think I deal with that. I'm not at that point in my life. I've been there, but like, I'm at a good point in life now, but I still am socially awkward. And John Bird will speak to this.
Really?
And Tony Gump will too. It's just, I don't know. This is going to sound so stupid, but until AJ walked in the door, I was almost nervous about getting AJ up here. Just because
because you're inviting us into your home and you want us to like what you've done.
I think that's
seeking, it's like you're seeking approval.
Well,
you want people to know you've done well, and you hope they like it. That's a sweet thing.
For that scenario, yes. But like, bringing a guest on the show, I was nervous to have Tony Gump type in JJJJJJJ on Fish Tank, because it was my first time talking to the fish tank people, and I'd been watching them for 6 weeks.
I understand that. You know? I do understand it.
That's part of my job is producer slash psychologist. Sometimes, I mean, and last wow. year it was really bad. I would kind of talk him down.
He would.
Off the ledge. Yeah.
All right, so it is my kids. For years, I didn't want to go do the commitments I had committed to. That could be for any number of reasons. Life is in turmoil. I had a migraine. But
we make excuses for why we can't do things.
For why we can't yeah. do things and feel bad about it and then feel like you've let everybody down. But there was a period in my life when everything was an effort and it was hard. And I thought, then you pile on, I'm a bad person. I'm a bad mm-hmm. person because I don't want to go do that. And then one of my kids looked at me and she goes, Mom, that's called social anxiety. I'm like, what? What are you people with your anxiety? We didn't call it that in the 70s.
Right.
You just, anxiety was Friday or Saturday. Or, you know, it was a day that ended in Y. We didn't right. use that term. But when she said that, she goes, that's what we have. It made me feel less of a bad person. I'm not saying it's diagnosable for me. But I have that fear. The boat show. I had a boat show appearance. I was anxious.
Yeah.
Why?
I get anxious at live appearances, too.
I don't know why. I don't know what that yeah. is. I can go on camera all day long, all day, every day.
Guys, we're talking about...
just bury your soul. Do a podcast
like in
with
the backyard
Andrew.
And bury it?
No, just do a podcast with Andrew
oh,
and
bear.
Just lay your life bare.
Yeah.
Okay. His was great, and it inspired me. Like, you go back in life, and you look at the things that happened to you that are trauma
yeah.
that we didn't, again, in the mid-70s, I didn't know what trauma therapy. We didn't have that.
Yeah,
you sucked it up. You went to bed. You got mm-hmm. up the next day. You went to school.
Yep.
So all those things in childhood and young adulthood that scarred us. Now, you mentioned this in Bird's podcast, mental health, ADHD, all of those things. When you were dealing with things in the 80s, we didn't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have social media that was throwing things like that in our faces. So you're having members of Congress have committee hearings about the social aspect of social media and how children are taking their own lives.
Wow, that's very prolific. We actually said that on our podcast?
No, I just said
okay.
it.
Okay.
No, your podcast.
Like, that does not sound
No. Your podcast where John was talking about dealing with mental health issues and ADHD and
yeah.
80 something or another, there wasn't a lot of that. They didn't have internet, so we weren't just like, hey, how's your mental health? You know, it was the 80s.
Well, we see the young people and your kids talk about, they brought up social anxiety to you, and we hear almost that entire generation self-diagnosing mm-hmm. these things, anxiety, mm-hmm. depression, blah, blah, blah. And I think for me and for a lot of other people, we looked at that and we're like, you're just a millennial
what?
Or a Gen Z, or like it's cool to have some sort of illness.
You're going to name it once
and
you name it.
Then, and the same thing with people with panic attacks. I was always like, that's just anxiety. Like it's just bad anxiety.
Nervous. We would call it nervous.
And then all of a sudden, I started having panic attacks.
Yes.
How long ago was this? 6 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
8 months
Somewhere
ago? And it just came out of nowhere. I ended up in the hospital because I thought I was dying. And even though the doctor, the hospital said, you're not dying, it's probably a panic attack, I would still freak out if I had one little pain.
You think it's heart attack.
Out. Yes.
Right.
And it's finally died down a lot. But it was so bad that when I was in the middle of it, we had Leland in here on the podcast. And I spent his whole episode talking about me and my panic attacks. So now I got to do that podcast over again.
Really?
And that gives me a panic attack.
Right, you're panicking. Stop panicking. That's what we said in the 80s and the 70s. Would you relax? Well, and I was talking, I lost my sister when I was in third grade in an accident. And one of my co-anchors, she said, did you have trauma therapy? I'm like, what are you talking? Trauma therapy in 1976? No. You know, there wasn't any,
mm-mm.
you talked about it. And I don't even know if I would have trauma therapy for something now. I don't know what it means, therapy, counseling, whatever. I mm-hmm. think it's kind of all the same. But apparently, I missed out on that. And so it led to years of issues, you know?
Yeah, I've always thought I could probably benefit from therapy. But then at the same time, you don't go to therapy to get fixed. Because the therapist needs you to keep coming back, right?
It's a business.
It's a business.
It's not. If it was a mission or a calling, they wouldn't charge you.
So you're just going mm-hmm. to the therapist to find some understanding of why you're messed up, but you're going to continue to be messed up. Is that it?
Probably. But you know, what I had a really weird theory about how that childhood trauma affected my adult years, and I thought, this is crazy. But it's true. And so I kind of figured it out on my own after scorched earth behind me. You know, but I don't know. I don't know if it's better or worse that we're talking about things. It's better, but having a panic attack at your age.
It's weird.
It is weird.
And I'm healthier than I've ever been in my adult life. I'm not saying I'm healthy.
You look
great.
Yeah, you.
I've dropped, you know, at my heaviest, probably in my mid-20s, I was 360. And then when I started Mandu, which was...
I love Mandu, by the way. I haven't done it in a long time, and I miss it.
Three times a week, religiously.
Do you not come out of there with a euphoric... I was euphoric the whole... You too? Mm-hmm. I mean, like...
Float.
What is that about? It was brilliant.
It's crazy.
And I miss it so much, but that first day in there, they spray you down, you're in a wetsuit. Like, what kind of weird movie is this?
They
we're
going
to hook
idea.
You up to electric stuff.
Yeah,
oh,
I was
sure.
Like, I don't want to do this. They're like, just try it. And I'm like, this is weird. I got in there. I still think it's weird. I put the suit. I'm like, dude, this is weird.
Hang on to these bars, and we're going to spray you down and then hook you up to electricity.
Like, you're putting somebody else's clothes on. That's just weird in general.
Yeah.
And so you put these clothes on. You put the suit on. We did it. They made me feel super comfortable because I was uncomfortable.
They understand,
doing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's not that bad. Mm-mm. And ever since, I've been doing it 3 days a week.
Well, it works for you. My man, guns.
Show her the guns.
Oh,
show her the guns.
Yeah. It is, though. There's where did that come from?
I know it.
No wonder you have anxiety.
I don't want to keep flashing.
Put those things down. Yeah. Yeah.
I worked hard on this.
With
electricity.
That's what you're, yeah. So you're having anxiety because you look better than you've ever looked.
It's
got to be stressful.
It wouldn't, none of that ever added up. And I think what happens is we do so much talk about the news, and in particular, Ovid K and the Koof, and then the V word that followed, and then, you know, the V word.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
And some of the effects that people speculate has happened after that, I start to wonder.
Sure.
Because of taking the job, I had to take the ABJ, and I took the J&J, which was like the non-mRNA deal.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's always in the back of my head. And when I'm seeing those headlines all the time, and I'm like, well, you did do it.
Right.
Like, you know, it's the whole thing.
We were doing interviews about it's Heart Month and, you know, women having heart attacks. And I swear I'm interviewing a woman who was in her 40s when she had a heart attack. And my chest starts hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, I'm powerful. I have the ability to mimic a heart attack because of my anxiety. It's a good time.
It's crazy.
We're a mess.
Well, let's talk about less depressing things. Who's the worst person you ever worked with?
Probably, well, it's John Bird. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. I don't have a worst.
I just asked.
I'm not gonna say it out loud.
Most challenging.
Say their name in pig Latin.
I can't. I don't speak the language. Get out. I seriously, there's a list of people that I marvel at. I marvel at that they lasted as long as they did.
Really?
Yeah.
In both radio and TV?
But I think there's people who probably, they may say that about me too. I don't know. Radio, no, radio wasn't a problem. The radio people were fine. There were fewer of us in radio.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the number of on-air people at Talk 99.5. Worst, I can't think of anybody. I'm looking at my man over here to see if he can mouth
Superman.
A word to me. Yeah, Superman. They're all just fascinating. They really are. They're fascinating. But I've had people who refuse to pronounce words correctly or prepare, or the ego was too big. And I found it stressful because I was trying to give things my all. And really, it's like I washed the car, I waxed the brand new car, and I handed my keys to a drunk driver and said, why don't you drive today?
Yeah.
Right? You know, and so, but that's just the fascination of people in media.
Where do you think that comes from? Now, we're not talking about any specific person.
No, the ego?
But is it just, hey, I like this job, it's fun, but I don't want to have to put in the work?
What I think, analyzing people over the years, and I mentioned men, you know, some of the men, I feel... We're all human, but somehow in television and radio, I guess to a certain extent, but the television aspect, and in a time when there wasn't Netflix and everything competing for viewers, I think so many people help create that monster. We love you. We watch you all the time. Yeah. You say, you know, and it builds up whatever the person, the on-air personality has going on in their life that is normal. And the stress, anxiety, insecurities, childhood trauma, whatever. But you have these people praising you. In some cases, some will let it go to their head where I can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. These people love me.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I do. They're going to love me anyway. And it's this false sense of you're somebody. Because no, we're not really. We're all doing the same thing. Some of us just have a job that's more public than others. But it becomes this setup. And look at Hollywood, any number of people, their lives have ended because it became too much.
Right.
I'm a fraud. I don't know this. These people love me. That sustains me. But then I go home alone and I'm sitting here in my thoughts and my faulted human ways. And it's just this recipe. It's similar on a smaller scale, if that makes sense. You know? And that's a recipe for disaster. So if you just stay really insecure like me, sometimes you can avoid that feeling of...
See, maybe our anxiety works out.
It may be working out and balancing us out.
You know, I think, like, you know, we get a lot of praise on a regular basis for the show, and I try to keep that in check for myself. You constantly consume that praise, and it's like, hey, you know, it's not that big a deal. Thank you. You know, you're appreciative.
Right.
And then one negative comment comes in, you're
tears you down.
Who are you? Like, all these other people were telling me how good I am. You can't say that.
But what do you think about every once in a while that one negative comment? Like, what did I do to them?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you? I do.
I try to fight that, but my subconscious wants to go back to that. And there's, I think for a lot of people, they'll hear a comment that's a negative comment and says, you should be doing it this way. And then they'll start thinking, should I be doing it that way?
Mm-hmm.
Should I change this part
That's
of my
right.
show? Blah, blah, blah. You can't do that.
No.
It's real simple. You kill them with kindness. When I'm doing the Jomber plays the guitar, you know, I mean, I'll get some really, you know, mean people. And the meaner they are, the nicer I am. And inevitably, people will jump on that person. That's not what I want. But, you know,
but
the thing is, I appreciate that. I'm sorry you don't like it. Hopefully, I'll do a better job for you next week. And move on. And because most of the time, they're wanting to get a rise.
And then I tell them they're banned from the show.
Yeah, yes. You're banned.
After
get out.
I think I've always had this analysis of people that have been in radio for like a really long time. I call them 90s radio people. People that I viewed as absolute rock stars.
Right.
The guys playing rock music on the radio that were just as a big of a superstar as the bands they were playing. I got to meet a lot of those people once I finally got into radio, and not all of them. I wouldn't even say a majority of them, but there's a handful of them where I'm like, this dude's full of himself.
Right, that's such a turnoff.
And it's constantly talking about themselves,
yes.
What musicians they know, what that musician sent them for Christmas. And you probably, I mean, you probably know this person, but I'm thinking of one person in particular. But I then chalk that up. Like, I don't hold it against the guy, but I'm like, you were from an era of radio where you were actually a rock star, and that just kind of, you know, wired your brain in that way.
It, the product of the environment. I had a general manager during contract negotiations once tell me something, and it was powerful. There was another anchor. There was a spat or something, and one of the anchors left, and it just seemed like a big ego trip. And I was younger and expressed to the general manager, I said, I don't understand why they're acting this way. And he goes, Ani, we create these monsters, management does sometimes, because we tell you all that you mean so much, and here's the money we're going to pay you, and we need you and all that. We create the monster in a way to the point where the person says, well, I deserve better.
Yeah.
And not that it was a bad situation, you know. And so it is true. It fuels the ego. And if someone says to me, you're not what I expected, you're down to earth, well, thank goodness, because that's how we're supposed to be.
Right.
But that's a compliment. I take that as a compliment that, wow, you're the same way in person as you are. As I on radio more so than TV, because your personality doesn't come out as much. But like, you're so down to earth. I was expecting someone who was really kind of a jerk.
How often do you run into people in public and they?
I don't go out in public.
Oh,
I'm an elderly
not?
Shut-in.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen Grey Gardens, but a lot. And you know what I get more than anything is I grew up watching you on TV and I miss you so much on radio. Isn't that funny? I don't know how many.
Why are you not watching me on TV?
I don't know if they're watching. This probably isn't good for business. I don't care. You watch what you want to watch or don't. News is hard.
It is.
It's hard. I don't know that I would watch it every day if I wasn't. This isn't all I know how to do. I'd be a florist, really. If I could do anything, that would be fun.
Oh, you and Trish could go into business being florists.
All right, let's do it. Yeah. Valentine's Day, we're going to hate it. But Mother's Day, probably going to hate the job. But the rest of the year, maybe funerals are very sad.
She used to work in a, what do you call that place? A florist store? What is it called?
Flower shop.
I don't know. Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. It's probably like saying stewardess now. Yeah. The flower people are like, what? That's not what we're called.
Yeah, she worked in one of those places.
But
so
I
could make that happen.
We could do it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know when I chose this. The only reason I'm in this business is because when I was in school, I couldn't do math, and science seemed mathy too, and I wasn't doing well in those. So I took an intro to movie class, and I could write. That's the only reason I'm doing this. If I could do math, goodness knows where I would be. I'd be working at UAB.
I think most of us in our business are just kind of sitting here waiting for you to come back home. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, are you wiping a tear away from your eye? You are, aren't
Please
you?
Please come back.
Well, it's just so much more free.
Yeah.
It's so much more free. Now, there's a price to pay for sharing your opinion, right? There's backlash.
A little bit. Most of mine comes from within my inner circle and talking about personal things.
From your family and your friends. Yeah, the people who love you the most, mm-hmm. and you're offending them.
Yep.
But it is so much more free. And I just love a conversation. And that's why I don't think I'd ever want to do a show by myself, because I don't want to hear me talk that much. I want to interview you or the guest. I just think that is so much fun, and see where the conversation takes you.
Yeah, maybe that's what's detrimental to me, is the fact that I am talking. I am the main one talking, and I just, you know, we never like start our show and are like, "All right, the news of the day." I'm like,
I do. That's how I start my show every morning.
John Bird.
good morning.
I'm like,
Andrea.
John Bird, you look like shit today. What happened last night? And then he tells me old stuff, you know.
But it's so intimate. Like being in my car, I will listen to the radio on my drive home every day. I can't listen to I listen to music on the drive in because it's just me in the open road. But on the drive home, I want to hear what other people are talking about. And I never was a talk radio person until I did it. And then I couldn't get enough of it because it's a conversation.
Yeah, I wonder what people's reaction is on the other side of the radio when we're on. Like, I'll start my show talking about how, you know, my cat, George Floyd, you know, like today, he came out of the litter box and he had a dangler and he was rubbing it across the carpet trying to get it off. And
that
then turned
is
around.
Compelling. That's
wow.
compelling.
And then clawed at the carpet that he left it on for like 30 minutes trying to cover it up, not realizing that, you know.
You're out of the litter box.
Yeah,
George.
You're out of there, buddy.
Like, you've had one too many blows to the head.
So I sat there and watched it the whole time, and then I went and picked it up and put it in the litter box. But it's just, you know, I just wonder what people's reactions are when I talk
life.
About those things.
It is life, because someone else has experienced maybe not that exact situation, but something similar. Like, it's just
probably
you wake up and the coffee maker's clogged and I don't need this today. And then the cat and then the dog, whatever. And mm-hmm. that's your life.
I have a lot of things happen to me on a nightly basis that may not in real life be that dramatic, but when I recount them, they're pretty dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely are. And, of course, with me, there are always bad things happening.
Yes.
Very unusual thing. I've just accepted it that strange things will happen to me.
You two together sound like a disaster.
We really are.
You're one-upping each other on your bad
little,
moment.
It's a little counseling session at the beginning of
the
show.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, then I go to work, and the people I'm talking about or talking with have had unbelievably awful things happen or miracles. It's not cat in the litter box worthy. I mean, I'll give you that.
So is it just there's nothing in between? It's just really awful or a miracle?
Either we're talking about breakfast ice cream that a new flavor's just come out, which it was delicious. It was maple pancakes in an ice cream form.
Wow.
Or we're talking about an 84-year-old man who's in prison, and everybody, even the victim's mother, wants him out, and he's still sitting in an Alabama prison. You know, it goes from one extreme to the next. It's exhausting. And now weather.
That is exhausting.
And now back to the execution.
Wow.
You know, it's just a weird, I don't know.
Can we take a trip down memory lane?
Yes.
With your time in TV?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Because
oh, good.
I actually tasked Trish with this.
There's hair involved, I will be honest with you. Things are different. It's a different time.
I said, Trish, I need you to find me some old Lindenberg video. Uh-huh. She said, oh, I got you.
Oh, I got
she
you.
Loves you. She said, I'm going to find some. So I have no idea what's in these videos or what they're about.
I know these videos.
We just want, as you can see, this is a video of somebody making a video of a TV of, I guess, one of your news reports. Who are these two people?
Sarah Verser, who works at Channel 6 now. Brian Curtis, who I anchored with at Channel 6 years ago. He was actually on a bobsled team. Fascinating story. There's your backstory.
Where's he at now?
I don't know. Kansas City, maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Hanging out with Taylor Swift?
Could be.
I
Go
bet
Chiefs.
He is. Look at him. He's a strapping young man.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, sorry, Tony. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
There she is.
Oh, got an itch. That was a bad day.
Wait. Oh, there we go. Yeah, we got some.
Hey, Brian,
the there it is.
Everyone is asking in this small community is who could have done this to their school?
I was your name spelled wrong on there?
I don't know. Surely
back that
not.
Up, Tony. I think your name's
there's no
wrong.
You in my name, sir.
Let's see. Let's back it up.
By the fire marshal yet.
Andrea Lichtenberg. She joins us live
let's
from
Waddell. You should get your hair back like that.
Okay. No, that's right.
No, okay.
You've just been spelling my name. This was a national story.
Waddowie. And so what was this one about?
There was some problems. There was a prom coming up, and an interracial couple wanted to go to the prom, and
really?
It set off a firestorm, literally.
I mean, I'm not surprised that there was an interracial couple.
This
I
was
just...
90. This was prior to 96. There's a lot of people blind around here. Yeah.
Interracial couple, Roll Tide.
Pause this. Let me give you the backstory.
Okay.
So... this was the one time I thought I might die. I was threatened on this story.
Really?
So there was the I think it was the superintendent said, no, they're interracial, young couple, high school students could not attend the prom, or there was a debate whether he ever said it.
What year is this?
It was prior to 96, so 94 maybe, 95.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of tension in the small town of Waddowie, racial tension. And we get a call one morning. They're like, Lindenberg, let's go. The school's on fire. Someone set the school on fire.
Oh, wow.
Gosh. And so we get there before the sun comes up. The thing is just burning. And like, wow, this is huge. And I remember the people of Waddowie were not happy that we were there. Some of the people were not happy. It was just, they were exhausted. There's media everywhere. It's, you know, y'all have only fanned the flames. A lot of literal flames.
What's the vibe of the town? Is everybody on the side of...
You
couldn't tell.
I don't know. It was just, they'd had enough. Everyone was exhausted from the media. Some people wanted the media there because they felt that this was wrong, obviously. You know, a girl should take to prom who she wants to take to prom. And others were, it was just a lot.
Yeah.
And they were mad at the media. And this guy had something in his hand. It was a mop or something. He's yelling and he's yelling. He's getting up in my face like, y'all need to get out of here. And
an angry janitor.
He was very mad. And I just said, are you going to hit me with that? Because let's just get it out of the way because you're scaring me.
Right.
And I don't know how big the hospital is here. And if you beat me really badly, I may not make it out of here. And he realized and backed off.
Wow.
I don't know what he had in his hand. Also, it was either this day or the day I went back. You had the Klan, Black Panthers, and another group all were going to march in Waddowie. I'm like,
good Lord.
Good gosh.
What could go wrong here?
Jeez,
are they going to meet in the... I'm sweating just talking about it.
That's crazy.
It really was... It was intense.
And what's your boss is saying? Like, you'll be all right. Just get them
off. And there was a photographer at 13 who was injured. Somebody shoved him, and the cameras then were so big, and it damaged his shoulder. Emotion, just a lot of emotion. And then when the media shows up in town, it does create even more tension. It was just a lot.
This is why you got back into TV. There's no action like this in radio.
there's no fights in radio. So that was... that was intense.
I'm fascinated. Let it roll, Tony. I got to see this. This is crazy.
The torch the school burned on a day already reserved as a day of marches by SCLC members, Black Panthers, and even Klan members. On one side of the town, Black protesters met wondering if they should go on with plans to parade through town. Extra state troopers were nearby.
Look at that cop car.
Keeping guard. But the threat of possibly creating an even more explosive situation prompted Black Panther members to back off.
To go down through there, talking about we shall overcome a bunch of junk and them people got guns.
But SCLC members stayed, taking the time to decide.
That's true.
They considered news delivered by professional Klan watchers.
So what you have here is an example of
you know, a Klan group from another state coming into this community and opportunistically trying to exploit the controversy here and the tensions in the community for their own gain.
You're from Georgia. Why are you in Wadawi, Alabama?
It's my right. I pay tax. I'm a
Klansman.
What are you doing here?
That's a Klansman.
I can go anywhere I want to.
Wow.
But Thomaston would never meet SCLC members.
Put those khaki pants
today
and that pager.
State troopers. The march was canceled.
And we are resolved right now to stick to it and wait it out to see, let the Lord make a way for us.
As demonstrators went home, others downtown who live here prayed for the end when Wadawi would return to normal.
The masses of the people are good people. They're working hard. They're trying to make a living. Everybody's got a few enemies. The few enemies make the noise, and they destroy it for everybody.
That's fascinating. Wow.
Since we've been in Wadawi this morning, have come up.
And how long were you out there? Was it just a one-day story type of thing, or did you have to go back?
We would go back, but that was just a long day, because once you get the word that the school's on fire, then everybody's trying to get there. And it's, you know, it's a haul to get over there. It wasn't just 5 minutes down the road, and probably left late that night, and then I can't remember when we went back.
All right, Lindenberg, you're on the race war today. I need to get down to Wadawi. Stat.
Go. Me talking to the Klansman, all he missed was some barbecue stain on his t-shirt there. I got a right to be here. Any other job, I wouldn't be interviewing Black Panther members and Klansmen in the same day.
That's great. And it's what's crazy about it is we don't seem that far removed from it. Like you're saying, it's right. Like 96.
Yep. Yep. Early mid-90s.
You know, I was 11 years old in 96. I don't ever remember stuff like that.
Yep.
And
yep.
I lived in a mostly white community, town, all white school, and I just don't remember stuff like that.
Yeah, one other story that, and there was a lot of tension in downtown Birmingham, and I don't remember when this was. It would have been early 90s. Skinheads. I don't know why they were marching in Birmingham. They put up fencing, and then there was concern that something like this would happen again, where you have different groups going, but the skinheads were marching in downtown Birmingham, and we were stressed out, like, what is going to happen here? And they put up these fences along the quote parade route, and I don't remember what they were here for, or I guess it ended peacefully, as peaceful as it can when you got skinheads coming into town. Is that even a thing anymore? Like, I guess up in,
yeah,
I don't know.
It is,
but
skinheads, yeah,
there was just things like that.
The whole counterculture.
He hangs out with the weird
knows
group.
He knows. You know things.
What the?
No, I'm just kidding.
He's but just things like that, now you look back at its history.
Yeah.
Oklahoma bombing, we flew out for that. It was one of the most chaotic.
Oh, you were on the scene for that?
We flew out there, and it was overwhelming.
Wow.
But then you had that. The people trusted reporters to be their eyes and ears, because not everyone can go. Mm. So let's send Lindenberg and let her report back to us is what it is in its most basic form. Hey, let me go check this out since all of us can't go, and I'll be right back and tell you what I saw.
You were the voice of the people.
It was the people's voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about this clip right here? 95. Oh, this is you and Leland. Look at this. What is
this? And there's James Spann.
James Spann.
Wow. And Scott Richards. Oh, yeah.
North Shelby County. It's in the Greystone area. Let's go live to the scene now where Lee Whaley is.
He was Lee then, yeah.
Look at Lee.
They thought Leland wasn't, it was too weird of a name. Isn't that funny?
Ridge near Greystone off Hugh Daniel Drivers are down in the valley.
Don't use Leland. They're going to think you're gay.
That you see from Highway 280, you can see from the Greystone area. It's a newly developed area.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
You can see that the Lifesaver helicopter is standing by now, waiting for them to bring some of the victims in the crash out of the area that they're in.
Oh, man. Look at him. He's hustling.
I'm waiting down there.
He's at the World of Wheels right now. This is what he's doing.
Oh, look, there I am. Dorothy Hamill. Princess.
You almost looked like you were backing up a little bit. Like he was coming in so fast.
He's coming in hot.
Slow down.
Easy.
Trying to find the people in the helicopter. You can't see the crash from here because of the rough terrain.
He still, when he does breaking news, he's still got that vibe.
Mm-hmm. There's that pager.
Princess Diana is on the scene to talk about this crash. Let's go to her.
crash happened. Can you tell us what you saw as you looked out over it?
Well, we were just pretty much looking out off of the mountain and enjoying.
These are just witnesses?
Yeah, neighbor who saw it happen. Busting up in their yard.
They got a nice view. Yeah, is that their yard?
I don't know.
Circles, and we at first thought maybe he was just going to land, but he turned on his side, and then he was able to upright it, but he continued in a spiral down into the trees. And we
That's a pretty good description. She should be on
she was
TV.
Good.
You don't get a lot of those, do you?
No.
No, we didn't hear a crash.
Sounded like a train.
Mm-hmm. But it does sound like a train.
It really does.
And so I knew that if we could get help there quick enough, maybe someone could be
See,
back.
She had the same haircut, too, just longer.
She did.
Mm-hmm. The waiting. Now, you didn't go down physically, but you talked to some construction. Around in the car. The construction workers.
A little boy's starstruck.
That's a girl.
John Bird. Oh.
Come on, Bird.
That little girl is starstruck. Are you
Just because sure, we're watching shame. The 90s don't mean you can misgender people.
No, I swear my lipstick was not that bright. That's just, swear it.
And Andrea, as we mentioned, it's a fight against life. We don't know the
It looks like that's being recorded in the radio station. Do you notice that?
It does. It does.
I believe the lipstick thing because it looks like Leland has a little, too.
Yeah, it was not that harsh.
Look at him. God, so serious. Wow.
Isn't that intense? Yeah.
That's pretty good. I actually tried to find some of those old clips of Leland when he came in, but I couldn't find any.
There's one that I have where we were, it's a video clip and it's us anchoring together and the shoulder pads between the two of us were ridiculous. I think he was filling in everybody was on vacation and they let us anchor together and it was just.
Were they equal shoulder pads or was his bigger?
Yeah, mine may have been a little bit bigger. I mean, it's funny. We're just children.
Oh, I gotta see
we're
that.
Just tiny children.
There was one time that you made an appearance on the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Yes, yeah.
That wasn't that long ago, was
it? No,
it
was not. And I just remember thinking, why did I wear that dress and what was wrong with my hair?
Was it bad? I don't remember what it looked like.
Yeah, it's just kind of cringy.
Tony,
and this is recent. This is 22,
yeah, this is
21, 22.
Yeah, this is only like a year or so ago. Right. Let's see what we got. That's Jimmy Kimmel, right?
Hey, no,
that's Fallon.
Whatever. Yeah. Sorry.
It's not good. Here, check this out.
A massive recall alert to
what
tell
happened
you
to the
about.
Hair?
Nissan
just,
is
that dress is not bad.
793,000 small SUVs in the U.S. because water can get into the wiring and in rare cases could start a fire.
Yep.
What? A fire? Oh, hey, it's Tree Trotter, everybody.
Hey, Tree. Was his name Tree? Tree.
Hey.
I think that was your only appearance on there,
right? Yeah, it's funny. Now
but that's big time.
It was funny. Every time I, someone, a viewer sent me a message. She goes, hey, you were on a late night talk show. I'm like, no, that woman's crazy. She don't know what she's talking about. And then somebody else sent it. I'm like, oh gosh, what did I say? Stupid. Is it a blooper? Now, every time I do a recall, I like to just kind of be over it and can even cause death.
Like, because never again is somebody going to take a clip of you of a recall deal, but you're traumatized by it.
And so I try to make it a little cheekier.
Yeah.
But I don't even know how that happened. I don't know why.
They didn't reach out to you?
No, they just pull it. And I'm not, that's NBC, I guess, and we're CBS, so I don't know how it happened.
Extra dirty.
Yes, filthy. I could sue. But so that was funny. No one saw it. Nobody believed me. And then I pull it up. I'm like sweating. Like, what did I say? What kind of trouble am I in? And then I realized, oh, okay, that's what it is. So
yeah, you
funny.
Definitely want to be ready. Yeah. And with our anxiety, if you would have known that was going to happen, you would have been extra nervous.
I would have fixed my hair probably.
Thought about, does CBS have a law call show or no?
Probably. Does it right now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because there's another one on.
There's a possibility they do. They do have them, and over the years they've made the rounds too.
Well, there's one on Fox 6, and I was gonna call and act as if I was John Byrd.
Oh, great!
And I was gonna come up with a bit like, I'm gonna sue an ED company or something. Oh. You know, something went haywire,
John.
And then record it and play it back on the show. But I'm like, I get in trouble if I do Fox 6. Like, I'm gonna have to do it with CBS.
Right. So you're asking me where you can plot your AI takeover of John Byrd's issues? Yeah. I'm not gonna support that at all.
I just wonder. Is there some? It doesn't even have to be a law call. I just need a call in.
This is why we don't take callers either. Do you see why? Yeah. I can't have you chuggleheads doing this kind of nonsense.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Can't do all that. Radio was hard enough. Like the phone, when I was new and I had my own, I had an hour show after the Matt Nani
show.
Yeah,
I remember.
Remember? Mm-hmm. Why? I have no, I think it was filler. I don't know. They just needed something
filler.
To, it's like pillow stuffing. You know, put her in there, we'll cover an hour.
It was good. It was a good show.
Really?
Yeah, I thought so.
So I was always scared to answer the phones because people were going to challenge me on the constitutionality. Things I didn't know, right? Things Ani didn't know for 50, which, and I can remember one day I thought, you know what, whatever.
Screw it.
Let's just run through the phone. But it was so scary.
Yeah.
And then I realized if I didn't know something, I just say I didn't know. I don't know,
that's the best
dude.
Way to go. That's what I do.
I don't know, but let me work on that. You know, but it was weird to learn that. Because in TV, you know, I didn't know a lot. I'd covered politics, but didn't know enough to do 4 hours of radio. Now, by the time my tenure was over in radio, I could talk my way out of political paper bag.
Yeah.
And loved it. But, yeah, those first moments were terrifying.
Well, it comes down to, again, the transparency with John Byrd and I. When somebody calls in and I don't know the answer to it, I'll just say that. It's not a problem because we've put a lot of effort to come across as just normal people with a cool job. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not trying to be superstars. We're not trying to be larger than life. We just want to be the guys that y'all listen to and you enjoy and you hang out with, and sometimes have to turn the radio down at 1:30 because
it gets weird, like your mom.
It's weird.
You embarrass Andrew's correct. Mom. Is that one of the categories on the wheel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mortify mom.
So I guess the only thing left is, what is the timeline? How long is it going to be before you come back to radio?
I mean, if I had a choice, I would say before I turn 60, so let's give it 2 years.
Well, I can't ask you how old you are. 2 years?
Yeah, I just turned 57 in November.
Really?
Oh, does that change your opinion of me?
No, I'm
Do I
shocked.
Smell like an old person? What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
I'm just shocked. I
are
was
you
thinking,
really?
I
was,
man, I thought what? You were 54.
Yeah, I was thinking 51.
Gosh. Oh, wow, I got 3 years. Yes, yes, that's me. Yeah. No?
I
know I'm
going to
be
50s.
Dead soon. It is kind of, it makes me sad. Mm. I've only got a few more years left.
No.
Well, you know that feeling of, wow, well, there that goes.
No, what you do, what I do.
I don't want to be Betty White on television. That'd be weird.
I'm 60.
But everybody loves Betty White.
I'm 60. That is my age.
Really?
I went from.
He blurred some lines there, didn't he?
I went from 59 to 50. And in 10 years.
Schedule. We're on John Byrd's schedule.
In 10 years, I'll be 70. I refuse
70.
To use the S word.
See, 10 years. You're 60?
No.
We don't know.
I'm 60.
He's 60.
I refuse.
Come on, Byrd. How old are you? Why are you in denial?
60.
Sweet merciful.
And next year, I'll be 61.
Exactly. I'll never admit. Never.
I just feel I've got to throw it out there because I need to apologize or something. Like, this explains a lot, right? Pushing 60.
Yeah, people always assume John Byrd is maybe just a little bit older than me. Like, he's in his early 40s. He's got a young look, but his personality.
Are you having Botox in your forehead? Are you doing fillers?
Yeah, what's your regimen?
Do you exfoliate?
No, I scrub my face with a washcloth.
It shows. Like, look at his forehead. It really.
What kind of washcloth is that, John Byrd?
Oh, it's that.
I have a dark green one and a light green one.
Not color, you idiot. Oh. What kind of nap is it? No, but seriously, you can tell his forehead. Look,
yeah.
Doesn't
I
it look
I use
nice?
A loofah sometimes.
On your face?
Yes.
Well, don't use it on your eyes.
No. I close my eyes really hard.
It looks good.
Thank you.
It really does. I thought maybe you'd had work done.
Yeah, so you don't use anything else, just washcloth.
Yeah, just a washcloth. I mean, I wash it, you know.
No proactive, no.
No, haven't
treatment.
Had acne in 40 years. Hmm. And
That's nice.
Know. So what do you think it is? Do you think it's just your young personality
he's
that keeps you looking young?
Because
he's 60.
I'm 60. Yeah, I really think that a big turnabout for me came when we did that podcast. Because
that podcast.
I was able to look. I've never.
Are you talking about the very first one we did at the other studio?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I never had looked back at my. I was like, boy, I'm glad that's over. Let's move on.
If people haven't, I guess you can watch it too. I was listening to it. If they have not heard, and it was one you sent me, said, this is the first of its kind. I really want you to listen to this. It is amazing.
Wait, which
is freeing for me.
The one of
so it's his life, yeah, where you're asking him about childhood. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's like John Byrd is not a cartoon character.
He did not want, like, I've just got this weird thing where, like I said earlier, I start asking people questions about things that I know there's a good chance they don't want to talk about them.
And when they talk
let me
about
know,
it.
They say, I don't want to talk about that. I'm like, okay, well, you know, and then I just take a different route. And we get to the same place. Like, I want the answers for that.
And he, like you said, I interrupted you talking about yourself, but you bared your soul, and it just helps me know you as a friend. And when I walked in here, I said, I know you. We worked together. We were friends, but I didn't know you.
So did you just recently listen to that?
I listened to part of it when you sent it to me, but I didn't finish it because I'm an awful friend. But then
don't finish it, for God's sakes. Don't finish
well,
it.
Is the end of it more intense than the beginning of it? I mean, there's some stuff that went down.
It goes downhill pretty quick.
Is there anything you need to grill me on? Not grill, but is there anything that you like? I mean, the worst person to work with, I can't pull any names right now until they pass away.
I really wanted that.
Of them.
Wanted
all
to know
of them.
About Murphy's temper. That was another one.
Yeah, and Murph knew that it would get away from him, his passion. If you did, but sometimes even I was like, I can't. Because he would look at me and you get that, like, a shark is about to attack look.
Yes.
And we would have a debate about my opinion in a break. And I'm like, Murph, come on. You know, and he, like, I'm sorry.
Audrey, do you remember when we were doing the Zoom and we would mute Murphy? And then you and I would have these little bitching sessions.
No, John Byrd, I don't remember that.
Boy, they were frequent.
I have to confess something, though. I, on my desk, to pass the time, because I'm in, you know, the basement doing the show, it's different than being all of us together. Mm. And I would, to process it all, I had all my colored pens, color-coded in little cups, and I would doodle. And I have page upon page upon page.
Beautiful work.
Of designs and all of that. And occasionally Murphy would say, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. And it was just off camera. And it helped me mentally stay focused and not feel so lost and alone.
Yeah, you should make a
coffee
table book.
And I did a bunch with Bird's name, and then I've got to give those to you. You can throw them away because I can't.
You know, there are certain things, and I didn't do it this time, but what helps me with my anxiety when doing the show is holding a pen.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps me look smart, too.
It really
does. It
does.
Like, I've got a point to make, and if I had a dry erase board or something,
or if
a,
I had glasses,
a chart.
I could take off and point.
Now I do the glasses thing because I can't see.
But I forgot my pen, so that's why I was nervous when we started.
You needed a pen.
Yeah.
But yeah, the doodling and all that kind of stuff. But I think it bought Murph one day when you see this, that I was using colored markers. It's childish, and it was wonderful.
Doodling. Oh. Kill Murphy. Kill, kill, kill.
Death. I bet,
in beautiful colors.
Yeah, anything else?
What's the best thing about... We're about to get out of here, but what's the best thing about...
Oh, we're just getting started, friend. You better stop. Hope you brought snacks. Best thing about...
Best thing about TV. Because we don't know anything about TV. It's just, you know, it seems really glamorous and, like, really...
Yeah,
like,
no.
Like, we would not be invited on TV, and we would never put you in that situation.
Well, you couldn't wear the visor on television. You couldn't in the studio.
See, that's why
the visor wouldn't... Why? What's wrong with your hair?
Nothing's wrong with it. It's
okay,
just, it
looks really
like,
good.
I spent my whole life wearing a hat.
Okay, that's
and
not...
And so, if
your...
I don't have this on, I feel like I look weird.
I'll tell you, Murphy and I went over and did political commentary at CBS 42 when we were still doing radio together, and I think it was tough for me because I hadn't done it in so long. I didn't have, you know, a right dress or anything, but for Murph being on television, and we did it several times, and he said, I'm just uncomfortable, like, does this suit fit, this is not my medium, you know, it's just because you feel exposed. That's the hard part about it. What I love about it, it's not something that everyone gets to do, and for me it's like breathing, right? And I feel comfortable. It's being in a television or a radio studio for that matter, but a television studio, it's a safe place for me. Which sounds weird, but it's what I've been doing since I graduated from college. Has been in a television studio.
Yeah.
And what's fun about it is trying to make it appear as though we're comfortable, because I am. And then being able to talk with people, have the opportunity to show video and pictures of things. I don't know. It sounds really simple, but I like it because it's what I know.
But
and
big.
I've worked hard at it.
Yeah.
I mean, plane crashes. You know, threatened with, you know, a big stick and all those videos you saw. Like, I was terrified to do this job. I didn't know what I was getting into. I would go home and throw up my first year. I would throw up before live shots, physically throw up. And now it's my comfort zone.
Hmm. It's weird. It was the same thing we were talking about being nervous at the beginning. When these microphones come on, I'm fine. But it's the lead up to it. Because when
exactly.
I was in the midst of those panic attacks, I was having them before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And if we got through that first
segment, at 99.5?
Yes. It was crazy.
Isn't that weird? And I would say, what? What's what? You do great.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line for me, it's telling stories. It's telling the different stories. Being given the honor of the one, like I said, go check this out. Tell us what you know. Right?
Yeah.
Most basic form of storytelling. Mm-hmm. And people let me do that. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Especially people like us get to do that.
I know. All because we couldn't do math. Because face it, if you're great at math, you're not going into broadcasting.
Did you did you graduate high school? Like, did you make good grades?
Yeah, high school. My cheese slid off my cracker in college. Yeah. But high school, you know, everything, people pleaser, another part of insecurities. Just wanted everyone to like me,
yeah.
My teachers to like me, my parents to be happy with me, make the good grades, don't disappoint anybody. Didn't really even drink in high school. Didn't do all that stuff that my friends were doing. Tried to stay away from it. And then I went to Auburn, and that was a good time. I enjoyed it.
I can tell you had fun.
Yeah, I had a good time and grew up a little. And that's where I sort of decided, I guess I'm going to go into this quick because the writing classes seem easy.
Yeah. I would have never survived in college. I'd go
a lot of distractions.
Party at the Delta Chi house with my friends that did go to college on the weekends. But that was it.
I don't know how we survived it. I can remember that Cheap Trick was at the fraternity house where I was a little sister. They had a band party. I don't know if they still have those anymore, but Cheap Trick was the band.
Wow.
Right? It was pretty
That's
cool.
A big one.
And so I busted my way up into the front row and you know, you give me a guitar pick and I have the Cheap Trick. And then before the sun went down, I said, I got to go to the library and study. I got a big test tomorrow.
Wow.
How mature is that?
Look at you.
Look at college age Ani. Now, there were some other immature things, clearly, that went down. But that was one of those moments where it's in my mind still of I was beginning adulting.
Mm. Well, it worked out for you.
Yeah. So it did. It's a living.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us today.
I loved it.
Even though it feels like probably 2 o'clock it wouldn't feel like 2 o'clock in the morning because it feels like
I don't know.
It's
just
your morning.
Like a glazed donut. You know, you just your eyes start to get dry.
It's like 11 p.m. for you right now.
Right now is my bedtime. Like I start to get itchy around 3:30.
Wow. You go to bed at 4 p.m. every day?
That would be my goal. I start to whine about it about 3:30. And then I start to complain about how much I hate the process of hygiene. Like, why do I have to wash my... I'm like a toddler. I don't want to wash my hair. I want to get in the tub. And then I drag it on out. And then if I'm lucky, 4 hours of sleep is not ideal. But that's what I'm running on.
Today or every day?
Every day. And I want to get in bed early. And then I drag it out. And then I get in the tub and stay there too long. And then I'm like, fine, I'll go to bed.
Wow.
And then you get up and do it again. So by Friday, it's a little sketch.
You just sleep through the weekends?
I try to stay on my normal schedule, get up before the sun comes up so I don't have a headache, get a migraine if I sleep.
Is Kent on that schedule too?
Sadly, yeah. Firefighters are light sleepers.
Well,
you know,
sure
if you
sense,
roll,
yeah.
If I roll over in the bed because my shoulder hurts and I need to reposition, he's up like, where are we going? So, you know.
He gets you in a fireman carrier and takes you down the stairs.
Yeah, like we're evacuating for no reason. But so when I get up, he gets up and makes coffee and sees me out the door, carries my stuff, puts it in
Look
the car.
At that.
Isn't that sweet? Wow. Waves goodbye.
That's so awesome.
Sends me on my way. And then he goes into some sort of couch nap fog. You know, he hates the schedule, but it's where we are.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That man loves you.
He
gets
adores
up that
me.
Time of day.
And I adore him. And is kind about it.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Tony Gump, you got any final words? We haven't really talked to Tony Gump, and I'm sorry about that.
I haven't met you. I'm kidding.
I've enjoyed this whole show.
Have you really?
Yeah. And,
bless.
Don't buy your kids so much crap and start teaching them something.
That's his final words for everybody. So he's not talking about your kids, obviously.
Well, I felt seen.
just in general.
Where were you like 10 years ago?
He tells me the same about mine. John Bird, final words?
Ani, please come back.
Okay, fine.
Please come back.
Fine.
Come back to where?
He's also...
Radio?
Yes,
okay,
come
just
back.
Clarify.
Just come back.
Carve out a place and we'll make it happen. How about that?
Yeah, we got to get you back on this show and in radio.
Okay.
Hopefully this before this.
All right. Yeah, I'll come back.
Yeah.
Now, see, I'm not anxious.
No, this is radio over here. We're trying to get you here first.
Oh, okay.
But we can bring you back here anytime.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't speak pig Latin and the pointing. I don't know what we're pointing
at. Do I ask you if you've got any final words?
No,
to
I just,
the people.
You guys know I love you, and talking to you too. And I just appreciate the support over a million years in broadcasting in Birmingham.
We got a great audience.
I appreciate it so much.
Good stuff. All right. Thank you again.
Yay.
We will do this again soon.
What are y'all doing tomorrow?
Doing this.
Okay,
you're coming
back. I'll be right back.
We're going to do it tomorrow. All right. We're out of here. Till next time. See you, cuz.